when you look at it all in aggregate, it's all very consistent. You have cardiac ejection fraction drops that are asymptomatic in somewhere between 5 and 10, maybe as high as 15% of patients, but they're of unclear significance. And then the actual clinical congestive heart failure rates are somewhere between 3 to 5%, and really 4% at most, depends on how you define it, and all the trials have defined it differently. I think it's the interpretation of the different investigators that really varies, if you ask me.
Can you talk about the BCIRG study, what the design was and what the results were that were presented?
The BCIRG study was a three-arm study, and two of them contained trastuzumab. The control arm was doxorubicin and cyclophosphamide, followed by docetaxel in conventional fashion, each given for four cycles every 3 weeks. And the experimental arms were one looking at the control arm with the addition of trastuzumab at the time docetaxel was given. And then there was a non-anthracycline arm that used docetaxel along with carboplatin and trastuzumab. And this third arm is interesting because it was designed both to avoid anthracycline cardiotoxicity and potentiation by trastuzumab, but also to follow up on some of the in vitro data that Dennis Slaman and his group has generated over the years, showing that docetaxel and carboplatin appear to be really good partners. There's synergy in preclinical models. So when it was all said and done, both of the trastuzumab-containing regimens did end up lowering the risk of recurrence. Now, there's a numerical difference between both of these arms. There's a reduction in both of them, but they're not statistically different. The reduction is numerically greater in the docetaxel and trastuzumab arm compared to the non-anthracycline arm, but longer follow-up is going to be needed to get the statistical power to really see which one wins out.
Yeah, the numbers are, I guess, about a 51% reduction with the anthracycline and a 39% with the TCH. Dr. Slaman showed the confidence intervals overlapping, and yet a lot of people are looking at those numbers saying, it looks like it's not quite as good. Is that the way you see it?
Well, yes, I must admit, I do see it that way as well. And I think the reason people see it that way is because these are very early results, and we sort of project over time how these curves may continue to diverge. However, I think we all have to be cognizant of the fact that we've been wrong about these things before, and we really have to wait for all the data to be out. But I think it's totally legitimate. I mean, after all, we have to make the best decisions we can for our patients. And sometimes, as an oncologist, you have to take your intuitions about what you think might be better, even though the statistical rules don't apply. And so there's a 12% difference between the hazard reductions. And so even though that's not statistically significant, I think we need to keep that in mind.